Hello, and welcome to Introducing Me. I'm your host, Sarah. I started this podcast to get to know other people and lifestyles while discovering more about myself. Each episode, I'll give a new guest a chance to discuss their background, culture, interests, or whatever they want to talk about to help increase all of our own worldviews. Today, I would like to introduce you to Derek, who has a great community on Twitch where he plays story-driven and thought-provoking games, but he also talks about mental health and ADHD, and I thought he'd have lots of good stories to share, so I invited him to talk to me today. He made me feel instantly welcome into his community, and he's just an overall great guy, so I'm really happy that he's here to talk with us. So Derek, why don't you just say hello?
I don't know if I've ever been called an overall great guy before, and it just feels great.
Well, you're welcome.
Just overall.
So yeah, if you want to talk a little bit about your life on Twitch.
So with Twitch, I actually started years ago now, about 7 years ago. And at the time, Twitch's partner and affiliate program wasn't set up the way that it is now. So I used to average 200 to 300 people every time. I was playing a game called Kerbal Space Program pretty exclusively, which is just a simulation game where you build spaceships and rockets and try to land on the moon and stuff like that. And then a lot of life happened and I ended up stopping for a little while. And eventually about 2.5 years now at this point, 2.5 years ago, I started streaming again and haven't stopped. And it's become more and more a part of my life.
So why did you decide to get back into it just a little bit ago?
What it was actually, I was playing games with a couple of friends of mine who were streaming, and as we would start to play, one of them would be like, "Yep, all right, are you live?" And like, "Oh, yeah, I'm live." And then I'm over here like, should I be live? And eventually I started going live when I was playing with them, was able to sort of leverage the job that I had at the time and the following that I had previously and from just other projects to start to develop more of a community of my own.
Yeah, that totally makes sense. It's slight peer pressure that brought you back, but that's okay.
I wouldn't call it peer pressure so much as just like, well, I guess that is peer pressure, huh? I was going to say, no, it's just they were doing it and then I wanted to. No, that is peer pressure, huh? It was just them going live made me feel comfortable in starting it again is really what it came down to more than it made me feel like I had to.
And that makes sense. You were doing it before you had the comfort and then you joined your friends. And that makes sense. Yeah. I didn't mean to make it sound bad, like you were being peer pressured into it and are just still doing it 2.5 years later.
And if the partner program was then as it is now, I don't know that I ever would have stopped.
I have no idea what has changed in the partner program. So what's different?
Things like, if you're familiar with Twitch, things like bits and subs weren't a thing back then. Like, there was no way to monetize a stream at all, with the exception of having a PayPal donation link, which I think at the time I maybe had a total of $100 ever donated to me.
That's kind of crazy, because when I think about Twitch, I kind of only think about all of the subs and the bits and everything.
Yeah, where it's just, all the create. Well, I mean, for my stream in particular, I have a very, very generous community, which I am very grateful for. And I get more support than a person who has maybe 10 times as many concurrent viewers as I typically do. I'm very, very lucky to be able to do it as often as I am.
Yeah. Well, you also have really cool notifications for everything because...
Yeah, I try to make it fun.
And am I correct that you did all the voicing for all of your notifications?
Almost all of them. There are a couple of ones from movies and TV shows where I actually use that audio because I can't get adequately in trouble for it yet. But then there are a couple of impressions and things that I'll do some of the notifications where it's like a Kronk talking about receiving a donation or Marvin the Martian talking about a new follower or whatever it is.
Okay, cool. So you obviously, as you mentioned, you and I mentioned, you play a lot of games, but you tend to open your stream up with an hour or more, depending on how long it goes, of just talking. So why is it that you choose to kind of open with that talking and not dive right into a game?
It's, for me, Twitch and realistically any kind of creation on the internet, anytime you're doing any kind of content creation, it's all about the community, in my opinion. A lot of people get into it for like the wrong reason. They'll get into it because of their own ego boost that it actually gives them rather than what they might be able to give. It's more about what they get. And for me, being able to have that community and talk to everyone and have everyone just feel like there's a nice, comfortable, safe space for them to come hang out is very, very important. And I think that that is also part of why I do have a community that is very generous, is that they care as much about me as they do the game that I'm playing. And that's not necessarily the truth with all streamers. Some streamers care more about the game and how the person's playing the game rather than the person themselves.
Yeah, that definitely makes a lot of sense. And you're right about how your community reacts, and being on that side, I definitely feel that way.
I mean, once the community starts like saying hi to each other, that's when you know that you've won, in my opinion.
Yeah, no, that's definitely true. And it's not just your moderators that say hi. It's a little bit of everybody.
Yeah, yeah. One of the things that I also do and encourage is for the moderators to say hi, because it then encourages other people to do it as well. So it sort of sets a precedence.
So you talked about giving back as a streamer. So how do you feel that you give back in your Just Talking segments?
That's a more tricky question, isn't it? It's so easy to answer someone's question in an in-depth way, or to talk about things that maybe other people wouldn't necessarily have someone to talk with, like about that thing. A lot of like mental health things, as you were saying in the intro, that's definitely something, especially as I learned more about it in my particular journey. I feel like we've had a couple of people now in the community go and actually consult a therapist and see if they do have ADHD, because they've kind of always thought about it. But then, I don't know, you're just like, oh, if I do find out that I actually have it, was it going to make a difference? And everything with that, I think, is really, really great. And I think that, I mean, something that I do too is that I tend to be pretty open with things. There's definitely, I mean, stuff that I keep to myself, but I believe that struggles are more informative and are a bigger learning opportunity than any kind of successes. And I think it's important to talk about them.
Yeah, definitely. Those are definitely good conversations to have. And I think it really shows your impact, the fact that some people who are in your community have taken those steps just by listening to you and hearing you share your feelings and stories to say like, hey, this might also be me as well. So for those who might not know, do you want to kind of explain what ADHD is? I know longer ago, it was always the conversation of ADHD versus ADD. So would you, I know you're not a mental health professional.
Not at all. And if I get anything wrong and there's a mental health professional listening and I'm incorrect, I'm real sorry, but I'm just doing my best. So from like a purely biological standpoint, what ADHD is that the brain, the ADHD brain, doesn't produce as much dopamine as a neurotypical brain would be the most proper term. This produces a number of symptoms that a lot of people are familiar with. You talk about like the ADD versus ADHD. There's no difference. That's the same thing. They're both called ADHD. But it's also ADHD with or without hyperactivity. ADHD by itself is just the worst name for it, because it sounds like I don't have enough attention. That's not true. I have lots of attention. I just can't control it. And there's, boy, that's so funny. Like literally as I am talking about ADHD, my brain just went, pew, whoop, and there goes my thought. Sarah, what was I saying?
Okay, you're going to make me repeat back what you were saying?
Just all of it, if you could. No, so anyways, talking about ADHD. That's one of the symptoms, is not being able to concentrate, not being able to focus. I would compare it to watching a highway, and you're trying to focus on one car driving by, but instead you're going to every single car, and it's whatever car goes faster is the one that you end up focusing on. It can be a really big struggle if you leave it unchecked, because you're doing the dishes, and in the middle of the dishes, you're like, oh, I need more dishwasher fluid or whatever. And you're like, so I can go to the computer, go on to Amazon, look at more dishwasher fluids. Oh, that's right. I was going to check and see about, a vacuum cleaner. Let's start to buy a vacuum cleaner. You know what? I need to vacuum the floor. So then you start vacuuming the floor. As you vacuum the floor, you pick up a magazine. You open the magazine, read it for a little while, and suddenly 4 hours have gone by and you still haven't done the dishes.
Yeah. That sounds like it would be very difficult to deal with.
It can be. And there's so many misconceptions with ADHD as well, and it's a lot of misinformation that's out there. And at the very basic, where you're talking about the difference between ADHD and ADD, and ADD, where there is no difference. It's the same thing chemically that's happening in the brain. So it can be with hyperactivity, it can be without hyperactivity, and it can also be with both, where there's a combination of having no hyperactivity and also having occasional hyperactivity, which is what I have, where it's a little bit of in between.
And what exactly is hyperactivity?
People associate this with children very easily, where they are running around, not able to sit still, very fidgety. And then a lot of what that is your brain trying to produce more dopamine.
Right. Okay, that makes sense.
Yeah. And in the same way that's why it's so hard to focus too, is your brain is going to the whatever is creating that dopamine for you as much as possible. So then, I mean, that also leaves people with ADHD to be very susceptible to things like addiction, because a lot of addictive substances release lots and lots of dopamine.
Yeah, that definitely makes sense. And it's definitely unfortunate. So what do you personally do to try to control your ADHD?
What do I normally do under normal circumstances that aren't COVID, not in COVID times?
Yes, exactly.
Exercise is something that I've been trying to get more and more into, that because it regulates things a lot for me. With COVID, I haven't been to a gym now in a while because I don't feel like it's safe, at least not in my area. So I've been struggling with it more and more. I have just a million reminders on my phone. For example, so if I do laundry is a really big one for me, because you can walk away from the laundry machine when it's on. And that's awful, because if something is out of my sight, it's out of my mind. But if I hear the buzzer, sometimes I won't even hear the buzzer because I'll be concentrating and focusing on something else. But also after I hear the buzzer, I'll also put an alarm on my phone that I know is going to go off just a little bit after the buzzer that says, hey, check laundry. And sometimes even then, it still just ends up sitting in the dryer for a couple of days. And so I run out of socks or something. And I'm like, oh, where are my socks? Oh, yeah, I was doing laundry on Sunday.
Yeah, I think a lot of people have those moments. So it is kind of interesting because, you know, you said that members of your community have since gone and tried to find out if they have ADHD. And it's stories like that I feel like a lot of people experience those things, but it's not necessarily.
Yeah, and it's a matter of severity and a matter of frequency. And once it becomes debilitating, then it gets to be a very hard and very big deal. So a lot of things with ADHD for an ADHDer, a lot of the therapy that you would end up having would be to sort of undo or cope with some of the damage that has been done for you growing up. So for me specifically, I also have writing anxiety. It's the worst. If I had to write a book report or something, I would not be able to. I could talk your ear off about it, but it would be very, very difficult for me to sit down and write it. And that's because of just having experience with ADHD and not being able to focus on that blank page and being able to actually write it. Another thing that's associated with ADHD is called executive dysfunction. It's essentially inability to execute. So I will frequently have things where I desperately want to do them and just won't be able to. And that is something, especially now with COVID and not being able to regulate as I have previously been able to, it's really, really hard.
That makes a lot of sense. I personally have and not necessarily debilitating issues with those sort of things, but getting myself an actual journal that I more or less carry around all the time so I can write things down. It's the only way I've been functioning, especially in a pandemic.
Really? Interesting. Good for you.
Yeah.
That's great. I, I wish that I could write. It would be just the greatest. I feel like I'd be invincible.
Yeah. Did you not have a YouTube channel where you did scripted videos?
Yes, I have. But every time that I scripted something, it was very, very hard to get there. Okay. I've been trying to make a video, just a video, for over a year and a half. But it's the writing of it and scripting of it is very, very hard for me. If I have something to work with already, then it's totally fine. Like, I can edit like crazy. And that's, you know, how I got into video editing, is that I wasn't able to produce my own content, but I was able to edit very, very well. And eventually it became a career path.
So would you be willing to take us through how you got diagnosed with ADHD and how, like, your first experience realizing that you had it?
Yeah. So it's very, very interesting to me anyway. I think it's interesting because when I first was diagnosed, I think I was maybe 10 or 11. And how I got diagnosed is because I had some kind of paper or something to write. And my mom told me, you cannot go to bed, you cannot go to sleep until you get this done. And I sat at a blank piece of paper for, looking back on something, you always sort of conflate how long it was. So much in my brain, I'm like, for like 17 hours. It was probably like 4 or 5 hours. But it was way past my bedtime at the time. And I remember my mom coming into my room, me still crying after hours later, and holding me and just being like, okay, we're going to get you some help. Something's wrong. And from there, we then went to a psychologist, a therapist, and I got told lots of things, some things that I wish that I hadn't, because it gave expectations. And eventually I was put on medication. I could not tell you what I was put on at the time. I know that it wasn't any of the regular ADHD drugs. It was more of a newer one. But eventually it stopped. And at the time, as like a then now 11-year-old or 12-year-old or whatever it was, I thought that that meant that I was better and that I just didn't have it anymore. Looking back on it now, I think that my parents literally just couldn't afford it at the time. So then I experienced all of the rest of school and high school. I struggled greatly because I just can't get homework done as a part of ADHD and also then the writing anxiety. I would frequently have things on my report cards. You know, have you have the little notes in the report cards? It'd be, this is a specific one that I remember having been given. It was, pleasure to have in class, recommended for advanced work, missing or incomplete assignments. And that sort of sums up my entire educational history. Something that I don't talk about super openly very often is that I actually failed to finish high school with the normal route. I walked and was given the like little envelope that would normally have your diploma, and it had a little post-it note that said 1/2 credit short. And I still have that post-it note. I then went back and took some tests and got my HSED in like 2 days. The woman that was administering the tests that was there, like then like showed me my results and was like, I don't know why you're here. And I'm like, I don't know either. It's me. And, I didn't end up going to college right away. I eventually ended up going to college. I struggled a lot. I first started out with pre-med. Turns out pre-med, there's like lots of writing. Didn't know that at the time. But eventually I found theater. I found a theater and acting. And that was something where I could just talk. I didn't have to write anything down. And that was just a dream for me. From theater, I ended up getting into then voiceover work, which led to audio editing, which led to video editing. And it wasn't until many years later when a woman that I was dating at the time was on Twitter, and somebody, I don't remember exactly what it was, somebody had written something about an ADHD brain, and they're like, hey, this is this person, Then you have ADHD or whatever. And she was like, this is you. And I'm like, yep, that sounds like me. And from there, I ended up actually finally going to the therapist and being like, hey, I might have ADHD. And within like 45 minutes of talking to her, she's like, yeah, you have ADHD. And that was just now 3 years ago, maybe. So having a full realization that I have had it and still do have it is relatively new for me. But I also am just always thirsty for every bit of knowledge that I could possibly absorb. And so I've done a lot of research on it. What was the question?
The question was for you to tell your story about how you found out how you had ADHD, which you very much just answered.
Yeah.
Now, this might not be something you want to answer, but why did you keep the note in the envelope for your high school diploma?
Oh, I don't know. I don't have a good answer to that. Because I don't know. Why do I still have it? And like, it's in a safe. Like it's like a point of pride. Like I'm trying to think of why I would plausibly still have it.
I mean, clearly if it's in a safe and kind of tucked away, it's not like it's a sticky note sitting on one of your computer monitors.
Yeah, no, I don't have it on my monitor or something. No, like it is safe and tucked away. I mean, I feel like any answer that I would give would be why I could justify having it now. But as far as why I have kept it the entire time, I feel like that reason has maybe changed. At this point, for me, it's an acknowledgement of something that I have overcome. Well, more or less.
Yeah, you're in a different place now that it's more understood.
Yeah, but as far as like why I kept it when I was, I don't know, 20 years old, and I don't know.
I'm impressed that it traveled with you that much, that like it didn't get lost in the shuffle.
Yeah, no, I've always kept it like it's in a safe with my birth certificate, and I've never had anyone question it, and so I've never really even reflected on it. I'm not sure why.
Well, now you'll be thinking about it at night.
Yeah, no, I mean, I'm gonna have to ponder that. It's a very interesting thing. Like, why would I have kept it? I don't know.
That's why.
But like, I mean. One of my, you're like, yeah, I know. That's what I'm saying. It's very confusing. And like, I had always tested very, very well. And that's just how I was able to only get one half credit short. Even when with testing well with like college entrance exams, I did very, very well on those as well. And probably frustrated the crap out of my parents and teachers that I didn't go to college right away, or that didn't even. You know, I was that half credit short.
Was it like a long period of time that you didn't go to college, or was it just like one gap year?
Yeah. No, it was, how long was it? Maybe 5 or 6 years after? I can't quite remember now. Let me think here. Probably about 6 years after having graduated. No, that's not true. Five. Let's call it five. More than just a gap year. It wasn't until I got into a very bad car accident and had trouble walking right after, and eventually was able to completely recover. And I was like, hey, I want to help people like I was helped. And that's really what inspired me to enroll pre-med. And then as soon as I was there, that changed a lot very quickly.
No, and I mean, that definitely makes sense. Like, it's a good reason to go into pre-med, but then realizing that, hey, it's a lot of writing. I think that happens a lot with a lot of the sciences, that it's just unknown how much work goes into it.
Yeah, I mean, just with anything, right?
Yeah. Did you have any issues then when you were doing the acting degree, since it was all, you know, you're just Not you're just talking, but...
Yeah, there were some papers. At that point, I was able to recognize that I had writing anxiety and was able to specifically talk to my professors and be like, hey, I know that you said 6-page paper. This one's 2 pages, but I promised that I worked on this 10 times more than anybody that gave you the actual amount. And then, like, I'd have a very generous girlfriend at the time who would... sit down and help me get something on the page, because once I have something on the page, then I'm able to work with it. But just going from that nothing to something is very hard for me. So it was at that point more about being able to work with and cope in spite of everything, rather than having like been able to conquer it in any kind of way. There is definitely were papers, not as many as there were when I was pre-med, like even just like a chemistry, like lab report, it was hard for me. So
the fact that you were able to realize that you had that anxiety and were able to talk to your professors is definitely paramount.
Yeah. I mean, bless them for understanding at the time. I mean, not everyone did, but a lot of the professors in the actual theater program did, because it's a very tight knit. So everybody, you have the same like 4 professors for all of your major classes.
What else do you want to talk about?
I don't know, Sarah. Ask me a question and then just wind me up and let me go. I don't know. I'm very good at talking.
Well, I mean, you do stream on Twitch, so I would hope.
Yeah, well, and that's one of the things that's actually really good with it. It's just on Twitch, you are able to just kind of let your mind wander, and it doesn't matter if you don't go back to it. And if somebody does want like more information, they will specifically ask you. And it's great because it never feels like rude. I never feel like I am like that. Like I was asking you if I even answered your question, because at a certain point I realized that I was talking and I'm like, man, what even was the question? Because I don't remember now. And I, in a lot of ways, it feels like ADHD sort of lends itself to being able to really succeed there.
Yeah. And I mean, that's definitely a positive. You always kind of want to turn your struggles and different things that you deal with into a positive experience.
Yeah, I mean, a lot of people in ADHD land talk about how somebody with ADHD, like, it can be a superpower, and for the most part, I'm like, okay, but not really. It feels much like a detriment most of the time. But I think that on something like Twitch, I think that it really, really lends itself for people that are able to just sort of wind themselves up and go. And it doesn't matter what you're talking about a lot of times on Twitch. Sometimes you just need to fill that airtime and just keep your mouth going and go.
Yeah. Now, I happen to know that even though I'm not on Twitter, you are active on Twitter. So how do you handle Twitter? Because that's obviously like a written place, but obviously short form, but it's my belief or understanding that you're spreading a lot of positivity on Twitter.
Yeah. So it's something that I just started a little while ago. And the reason is, I mean, people talk about Twitter and how Twitter is this cesspool of people being super negative and it's just not great. And from my perspective, it's a little bit like traffic, in that when you are in traffic, it's really hard to be able to say, oh, the traffic's bad. Well, you were there too. You're part of traffic. You are traffic. And I think that's the same thing on Twitter, where it's not that Twitter, people call that Twitter bad, and then they're going to retweet a bunch of super negative things all the time. And that is never great ever. So one of the things that I wanted to do is to start just like having little things of, I don't like calling it positivity because then it seems disingenuous and kind of quaint. What I'm actually doing, little secret here, is literally I am writing what I want to hear at the time or something that I would like to hear at the time, and then changing the pronouns from I to you.
So you're giving yourself like a little boost of what you needed.
Yeah, exactly. Then just, you know, phrasing it so that it could possibly help people. And if you go ahead and read through it, it's more evident. It's a little be the change sort of thing.
Be the change you want to see.
Yeah, exactly. So it's something that I've started doing, and a lot of people that have followed me for a long time have really given a lot of positive feedback with it. And I wish that I could just take credit for it, and I need to say this. It's not my idea. Lin-Manuel Miranda did this, the guy who wrote Hamilton, the musical, did this, and I heard that he had done this on some late night show. There was a clip that I had watched on YouTube where he was talking about exactly that, where he was just changing the pronouns, and you tweet. His actual book that he has now, which was his tweets, is called Good Morning, Good Night. So good morning, he would do a tweet, and then good night, he would tweet again. And for him, it was keeping himself off Twitter so that he was only using Twitter in the morning and then at night. So I do have to acknowledge that it's not my idea.
That's totally okay. As someone who's not on Twitter, I would have had no idea.
Yeah. Well, it's not all bad.
Yeah, which is good. And I mean, you definitely see it in social media, the negativity that you were talking about, that it's just kind of all over the place. And you know, you're going to be part of the problem if you are contributing and retweeting and all of that.
Yeah, absolutely. And like I said, something that I'm very cognizant of is I try to make it definitely so that it's not disingenuous. And I feel like it's very easy for it to seem that way. And it probably does seem that way to some amount of people. But it's never my intention when I'm doing it.
Yeah. Do you get sucked into the world of social media and waste too much time on it?
Yes. Because it's a dopamine hit. It feels good, especially to do those tweets. And after I do that tweet, I have to put my phone down. Otherwise, I'm sitting there hitting refresh and being like, all right, 3 likes, 4 likes, 5 likes. Oh, this is a good one. 7, 8. And it's real bad. And there's like, oh, this one has 50 likes. And it can be very rough. But this morning specifically, I was just like an hour and a half went by and I'm like, wow, I'm still on Twitter. Time to go do stuff. So because you get that dopamine hit from it and because of how my brain works, it's rough.
Right. I've actually set the child restrictions on my phone that you can only be on an app for a certain amount of time during a day.
There you go. Oh, that's a good idea.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh, I should do that.
Now, I will say you can ignore them. It pops
no,
up.
No, because then I'll just do that. No, well.
Well, so it pops up. It gives you like a 5-minute reminder, and then it'll it'll pop up and totally block your screen, and then it will say like ignore for 1 minute, ignore for 15 minutes, ignore for all day.
Oh nope, that's not good. I will click ignore on that very quickly.
I have done that, but I'm trying to get off my phone, I'm busier now, but when I was less busy, especially like with COVID pandemic, having all this free time on the weekends, I was, getting into that suck of social media.
What is it for you? Is it Instagram then?
Reddit.
Oh, really? Interesting.
Well, I was never into Reddit until a few months ago when, Animal Crossing happened. And someone recommended the Animal Crossing Reddit, and then I became obsessed with Reddit. So that's where it is mostly. I don't follow a ton of people on Instagram, so that I don't have that issue. So it's mostly Reddit, a little bit of Discord, like, and it's just like lurking.
Sure.
So yeah.
Listen, sometimes it's important to keep abreast of turnip prices. Okay.
Right.
Like, some you just need to keep up with it.
Hey, I'm still playing Animal Crossing, and a lot of people stopped, and I really don't care.
I think that's great. That's awesome.
So you talked about, obviously, watching the likes of your tweets and how if, it's not going up, that can be kind of detrimental. What do you do when you find yourself being negatively impacted by the reaction of the public?
The way you worded it made it seem much more highfalutin than it is. I don't know if I have a strategy. Nope. I don't think I explicitly have a good coping mechanism there at this point. It's on Twitter. It doesn't bother me. Not as much. Like on Twitter, it's so much easier for me to be like, oh, okay, well, that one didn't do as well. Interesting. When I'm on Twitch, it's real, real hard to not be like, okay, well, how many people are watching right now? Oh, that's a little bit lower than I thought it was going to be. Huh. Was it something that I did? Was it something that I said? Should I talked about this? Should I be playing this game? What can I do to, and like, that one's a killer for me. And that one, you can actually like turn off the ability to like look at it. But the problem is just like with your child controls, your parental controls on your phone, you can also just click on it and be like, turn it back on. Okay. Turn it back off. And it's really hard for me to not just sneak a peek.
So are you doing that psychoanalyzing like live while the stream is happening?
Yes. yes, exactly. And I mean, I try not to, but it's very hard to not.
Yeah, that makes sense. You want to have consistency and know that you're reaching the right people. So I ask all my guests a really random question.
And okay, great.
I will be totally honest that your question is very specifically tailored towards you.
All right, great.
Because, and you kind of mentioned it a little bit when we were talking about Twitch and notifications. And so I want to know your favorite impression and if you could then share it.
Well, that's so interesting because I don't like doing impressions. It's not something that I would even consider in my wheelhouse. I have a couple that I can kind of get close to, and I put those on my stream frequently. When it comes to dialects and things like German and Scottish come out a lot, I get Kronk like a lot. And then Marvin the Martian's actually really, really fun for me, even though he's kind of a dated reference and not everybody super knows who he is at this point. So I don't know if I have a concrete answer.
I mean, it could also be an accent. You have specifically, so Twitch does, I don't know if they're called bit. No, they're not bits. They're your duckies.
Channel points.
Yeah,
duckies.
And for everyone in my head, they are duckies, even on the other streamers who don't use duckies. And it's like, I don't know, is it like 30,000 duckies and you can make you talk in an accent?
50,000 duckies. And I've recently turned it off. But no, that's exactly what it is. So it's, I get the Scottish one a lot just because it's a very attractive accent for a lot of Americans. And I've done Scottish on stage before, and it makes it just a very easy one for me to drop into. And a lot of the ones that I have for my notifications are just the ones that I can get closer to. I can actually play them for you if you want.
Sure.
Yeah.
Right. The donation. The donation in which you donated. The donation of the money. That donation?
This is a test donation for $10. Oh, oh.
Were you able to hear that just now?
Yes.
Okay, great.
Oh my gosh. And right. I just like was trying not to laugh.
Yeah. And for whatever reason, that's just a character that I adore. I mean, not like if you listen to it, like I'm not, it's not even really that close, but it's recognizable. And especially with, you know, squeaking. No, Kronk is great. I really enjoy that one. Also, just talking in a little bit of a Scottish accent is a really easy one for me to drop into. And yeah, I don't know. It's fun. It's fun to play with. I have always just kind of liked doing voices and goofing around.
Yeah, and I mean, it's definitely fun to hear, and it brings an extra little liveliness into your streams and your personality. And
yeah, I appreciate that.
I'm disappointed that you've taken that Ducky Award away, because I was planning on using it when I eventually got there.
Well, it's largely because, like I said, I don't really like impressions. A lot of people would be like, do Donald Duck. And I'm like, I'm not doing Donald. I don't know how to do Donald Duck. Also, I don't want to try because I don't do impressions. Mm-hmm. And with voiceover work, a lot of people don't realize, like, VO work is not all about, like, character voices. Most of it's really boring. Like, being the voice of, Kmart and their instructional videos for their employees and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm. I mean, someone's got to do it.
Yeah.
Well, I will make sure that I reach out to you when I get the right amount of duckies and be like, I want you to speak as Kronk.
Yeah, there you
go. And ask nicely. So that's it for this episode. For more information about Derek, his Twitch channel, the podcast, all of that and social medias are in the description. I am also including a link to a YouTube channel that Derek recommends for more information about ADHD, which is simply called How to ADHD. And if you would like to reach out to me for more information, you're always welcome to do that. The podcast is on Instagram, Facebook, and can also be supported on Patreon. And if you would like to be a guest on the podcast, you're more than welcome to. The email address is the best way to get in contact with me for that. It's introducingmepodcast@gmail.com. And Derek, thank you so much for spending time with me today and for sharing all of your stories. It was really great to be able to talk to you in a different sort of setting. And thank you to the listeners for taking the time out of your day to hear a new story. Until next week, bye.
Bye-bye.